happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And I'm Rob Shooter.
Rob Shooter, filling in for Ann Northrup, who will be back next week. But so good to have you, Rob, this week.
I love jumping in. I love doing this show with you. Thank you for having me. And hello to Ann.
Great. And today, we should note when we're taping, May 17th, is Idahobit, the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, and Transphobia, marked around the world, more than here, but we do mark it here on Gay USA. And in the news, pro-LGBTQ candidates prevailed in Tuesday's elections in Florida and Pennsylvania.
And we have, unfortunately, more anti-LGBTQ laws in Florida by bully boy Ron DeSantis.
He's on a tear. Wilton Manors, Florida, which has an all-gay city commission, caved to DeSantis on drag performances at a pride event. And there's a conflict over an Arkansas pride event, too.
There was a high school production in Indiana that got cancelled after anti-LGBTQ parents. However, this story looks like it has a happy ending because the students did prevail. Let me tell you why.
Okay. The incoming president of the American Medical Association is an out gay man.
Amy Schneider had a very big announcement on Jeopardy and also, too, a little bit of surprise flirting involving Ken Jennings and a contestant.
Okay, Brittany Griner is back in action in the WNBA.
LGBTQ rights are in the balance in elections in Turkey and also in Thailand.
Progress was made in, wait for it, Namibia.
Boom. FDA changes its policy once again on gays donating blood.
And Janelle Monáe's new music video, which we can't show you, is a scorching celebration of lesbian sexuality. Google it. All right. But we wanted to start off with some good news that came out of the elections yesterday. First of all, in Jacksonville, Florida, they elected pro-LGBTQ mayor, replacing a Republican who was not up for re-election, and that was big. And in Philadelphia, the candidate here endorsed. First of all, the mayoral candidate Sherelle Parker, that's not her, beat a crowded field for mayor, first woman mayor of Philadelphia. Not the most progressive, but she's. Was the best on LGBTQ issues. This is Rue Landau, who won one of the top five nominations for at-large city council member, all but assured of victory in November. She will be the first out one there in Philadelphia. That's kind of remarkable. Anyway, so that was starting you off with some good news. Oh, and a correction. We told you last week that the House in Philadelphia passed sexual orientation, gender identity protections, but it's stalled on the Senate, but the Senate is in Republican hands, 28-22, although they're still hoping for a vote there. And in the Tuesday special state House election out there, a seat was in question, and they've only got a one vote margin, the Democrats, and it was kept in Democratic hands.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Let's see. And also in good news, Rhode Island Senate voted unanimously to pass protections for LGBTQ families, streamlining confirmatory adoption. And also in good news, the U.S. Supreme Court unanimously sided with a trans refugee and affirmed the Guatemalan's gender identity in the decision, which was written by Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. But a unanimous decision for Estrella Santos Zakaria, who had appealed the decision to deport her after twice coming to the United States. She's not free and clear. The court just gives her another chance to fight deportation. All right, let's go to Florida, Rob.
Oof. Ron DeSantis in Florida has killed a diversity and inclusion program at Florida universities. So he signed legislation to put the end to diversity, equality, and inclusiveness programs at the state's colleges and universities. The likely presidential candidate, who is rumored to be announcing any day now, signed the bill at New College of Florida, which reportedly has one of the highest percentages of trans students in Florida. This guy certainly knows a photo op, Andy. More pandering, which unfortunately I think is making him more popular, at least with his base.
Well, that New College, by the way, the candidates that DeSantis endorsed in Jacksonville, Florida, and in the governor's Republican nomination race in Kentucky, both lost. Mm-hmm. So he's losing some ground there. He also signed a bill legalizing anti-LGBTQ discrimination in healthcare. It allows any medical provider or insurer to deny care based on ethical, moral, or religious beliefs. And it can be used to deny gender-affirming care, HIV prevention medication, other essential care, while banning denial of care based on, it does ban denial of care based on race, religion, sex, or national origin, but there are no protections based on sexual orientation or gender identity. What a creep. Anyway, what else? And there's a new bill in Florida to ban conversation or instruction in schools about menstrual cycles before the sixth grade. Even though some girls have their first periods as early as 8 years old, it also prohibits the sex ed bill prohibits education about AIDS, STIs, or health education before the sixth grade. Planned Parenthood says the State Department of Education under DeSantis presents a binary reductive view of sex and stigmatizes LGBTQ students. And what about that fifth grade teacher in Florida who showed the Disney film? Maybe you want to talk about that?
Yeah, there was a fifth grade teacher in Florida who showed a Disney movie that has a gay character in it. And because of that, now she is being investigated. She said that she didn't show the movie because of the gay character. She showed the movie to her class during some downtime, letting them relax a little bit. She thought it'd be a fun way to blow off some steam. But one of the parents complained, and now she finds herself in trouble and potentially could lose her job now because she showed this film in Florida.
Well, actually, there's an update. Apparently, she's resigned. She's sick of it, and a lot of teachers are sick of it. I mean, across the country, we've lost hundreds of thousands of teachers because people are fed up with these kinds of restrictions on what they're trying to do. One parent with an axe to grind can cause them all kinds of trouble, as happened with this film, you know, and they're just fed up with it. And I guess that's what they want, an ignorant population that they can indoctrinate.
Yeah, several teachers down in Florida have spoken out too, saying that they're now scared about what they're teaching in their own classrooms, as if being a teacher isn't tough enough, isn't hard enough. Now they also have to be very, very careful about everything they said. A few teachers quoted saying they feel like they're walking on eggshells in their own classrooms, which I think is probably what DeSantis wants. I understand why they're leaving, but I'm not sure that is the right answer to this.
Okay. In Wilton Manors, Florida. Now, this is an enclave in Florida with an entirely gay city commission. And they came to DeSantis and amended their permit for the Pride event to ban, what do they call it, live adult entertainment, including drag shows. Drag performers spoke out at a hearing, but the commissioner said, well, you know, you can march in the parade, but you can't be part of an entertainment thing. And it's ridiculous. And what they're worried about is DeSantis can reach in and remove them from their positions. He removed some DAs that he didn't like. He could remove city commissioners. He could remove this new Democratic mayor in Jacksonville if he wants. He could do it to whoever he wants. So they're all walking on eggshells and right. Catering to him. But you need to test these horrible laws out because they're unconstitutional.
Right. Right. Yeah, they're terrified down there about what now they can and cannot do at a Pride festival. Are they allowed to have drag performers on floats? Are they not? And I think here they're erring on the side of being overly cautious. And so they've decided to ban drag performers from the actual parade, although they will be allowed to be on the route.
All right. In Orlando, Florida, a customer who works for a mental health nonprofit tried to buy a cake at Publix supermarket that read, "Trans people deserve joy." And the store wrote, "People deserve joy," and said, "We can't write the other thing. We're not allowed to do that. So, please, I'll give you the icing. You do it." Well, this created a kerfuffle. Finally, Publix had to apologize, said, "Come on back. We'll write whatever you want on the cake."
Come back, right, whatever you want. But we do have somebody fighting back for us. Randy Rainbow has released a new video really blasting who he's calling a new fascist, Ron DeSantis, in his latest parody. It's called "Welcome to DeSantis," and it is set to that fabulous song from Hairspray, "Welcome to the 60s. I'm not going to sing it, but I'll give you a little bit of a hint of it. It opens with, "Hey, mega, hey, mega, you take note. This is the Trump alternative who wants your vote." It's already racked up millions and millions of people online. Another great way of fighting back by our Randy Rainbow.
And we will link to it in our weekly email. DeSantis' fight with Disney goes on. Bully boy Ron looks at this as a fight he can't afford to lose. But Disney CEO Bob Iger, there he is, never loses, according to a Yale management professor, Jeffrey Sonnenfeld. Iger has stepped down as the CEO of Disney when he spoke out against the Don't Say Gay law, saying it would put vulnerable young LGBTQ people in jeopardy. And that was before the company was shamed into coming out against the Don't Say Gay law. So Ron is now saying he hears people won't let their kids join the military because it allows drag queens. If you can't deal with drag queens, how are you ever going to be able to deal with the Russians?
This fight with Mickey Mouse and drag queens is bewildering to me, Andy. What's going on here? Why is he doing this? Why is he doubling down on it?
Look, he's going overboard on everything, including abortion. He signed a 6-week ban. I can't believe that's going to make him more popular when he runs for president. I was thinking he wasn't even going to run, but he seems determined to run. His staff is saying he's going to announce on the Memorial Day weekend, you know? So I don't know. Hmm. By the way, attorneys general in 12 states, led by New York and New Jersey, wrote to the U.S. Department of Education supporting more robust anti-discrimination protections for trans students than the Biden administration is proposing. And they were joined by California, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Oregon, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Washington. Okay. Around the country, the Texas House advanced a bill to ban gender-affirming care for adolescents. By the way, the University of Virginia basketball coach, Bob Huggins, took a $1 million salary cut after using vile anti-gay slurs during a game. He also got a 3-game suspension. So his salary is down from $4.2 million. I'm sorry. This is University of West Virginia. One of the highest paid coaches in the country. In Kentucky, the Republican primary was run by anti-gay Daniel Cameron, the attorney general. But he beat handily Kelly Kraft, who was Trump's UN ambassador. But she ended up the home stretch of her camp. She's loaded. Her husband is rich. She ended up the campaign, saying, "We will not have transgenders in our school system if I'm elected. We will not have transgenders." Her staff tried to kind of clarify that, but she said the quiet part out loud. So she was a Trump ambassador, but Trump backed Cameron and DeSantis backed her, and Trump prevailed in that case.
Yeah. I think Mitch McConnell, too, backed the winner as well. It's unusual to have Trump and Mitch on the same team.
Exactly. In Arkansas, a Pride event won't be held at the Walton Arts Center as it has been since 2018, because the center's board voted to uphold a state ban on drag shows while minors are present. So Northwest Arkansas Equality says that's hypocritical. You've hosted Tootsie and the Rocky Horror Picture Show that feature drag. The center says it's not banning drag except for minors in the interest of safety for performers, patrons, and staff due to the divisive political rhetoric around this. And that is all true, that it's becoming more unsafe, but you got to stand up to the bullies. All right. In Texas, we mentioned that the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders might run afoul of censorship bills targeting drag. The bills ban sexually oriented performers on public property at a commercial enterprise or in the presence of a child. But a proponent of the bill said, yeah, it might ban the cheerleaders. And so what? The cheerleaders. All right. North Carolina, you saw that the legislature there overrode the governor's, Governor Moore's veto of a 12-week abortion ban. The president of the Bar Association there, though, canceled a planned drag trivia night and wanted to substitute a debate about drag culture. The Republican legislators there are working on a bill to ban drag shows on public property, not to mention other things. The president, Clayton Morgan, got an earful from the association's Committee for LGBTQ Equality, but he didn't back down. Okay. Can we go to Ohio with that scene from the school board meeting in Elida? Right-wing parents group there convinced the locals in the town to oppose a $300,000 school rebuilding tax because the school board refuses to bar trans students from restrooms. The group calls the policy Luciferian and spread rumors about kids acting like dogs and cats in schools. The board is simply following federal education guidelines. So defund the schools is the new slogan of the right wing. Horrifying, scary. And this isn't just happening in America. I see some of these things happening over in England as well.
It seems it's the next frontier, hating drag shows, trans people. That's where we're going. You're right. It's not just here. It's happening in Britain, too.
But we have a good story from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Should we talk about that?
This is Carol. It's a public high school in the suburbs of Fort Wayne, Indiana.
It's where I go. And I go.
And I go.
Yeah. There's like 2,400 of us who go here.
Gay students, straight students, non-binary students, trans students, you get the picture.
Earlier this year, our drama teacher decided that our spring play should be something that made everyone feel welcome. So, she picked Marian, or The True Tale of Robin Hood, which is a gender-bending take on the traditional story and has some queer themes.
The principal approved a special teen edition of the play, but a group of anti-LGBTQ parents decided they didn't want us to do it, so they called up the principal and told him not to. He got spooked and decided to cancel the play.
It felt like he was canceling us. All because some parents decided to be bullies. And the thing about bullies, as any teacher would tell you, is that you can't give in to them. What that does, it just emboldens them to keep doing it.
Maybe that's why adults have been bullying teachers, principals, and school boards all over the country.
No matter what the reason, we've decided to put on the canceled play ourselves, along with some supportive adults in the community. We've got to fight back against the bullies, especially since right now, in Indiana, LGBTQ people are under attack. Our state lawmakers are trying to pass a series of bills that ban gender-affirming care, don't let teachers or students say gay in the classroom, and block attempts to ban conversion therapy.
But here's the thing. We can't put on this play without your help. It turns out plays cost a lot of money, especially when you have to rent out the venue yourself, cover all the production and insurance costs, and you only have 3 weeks to rehearse the show.
Yeah, 3 weeks. It's crazy, we know. But even crazier is not standing up to the bullies, and that's not going to happen. We want to show them and other people like them around the country that their tactics aren't going to work anymore.
We're not going to let them cancel our play. We're going to put it on anyway and make it amazing. That's why we made this video, to ask you for your financial support.
We can't change everyone's mind, but we can put on our play. We can make everyone at our school and in our town feel welcome. And that's what we're going to do.
So the show will go on May 20th. They've met their financial goal. They wanted to raise $50,000. They raised $82,000 with the help of Fort Wayne Pride, which is a nonprofit who linked with them. So fantastic. They're not just complaining about it. They're not just protesting. They're just doing the show. So yeah. Now more people are going to know about this gay theme show than ever would have heard of it if one parent hadn't complained.
Absolutely. Andy, we love theatre. I often bump into you at theatre when we go to press previews. We're often there on the same night. I'd never even heard of this play, and now I'm going to order a copy and read it. And also, too, I have to point out, these school children, these kids, they made the most amazing promotional video, what we just showed. That is so polished. It's so well put together. I hope that their show is going to be just as good. I'm sure it will be.
I hope they volunteer to take over and replace Ann and me and you on Gay USA. Absolutely. Give it a new name.
We're in good hands.
A new news source. Okay. All right. Some horrifying, but sad. On West 95th Street in New York, a man named Fred Innocent, he's not 45, was arrested for defecating on a pride flag. He'd been slapped with multiple hate crimes charges, burglary, harassment, criminal trespass. He lives in supportive housing for people with mental illnesses. But, you know, people with mental illnesses hear all this anti-gay stuff and they feel like acting on it. And that's what's very scary. Okay. Let's go to some national news. You remember out former Representative Patrick Maloney. He's been nominated to be U.S. Ambassador for the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, where he gets to be based in Paris. It's an intergovernmental organization with 38 member countries formed in 1961 to stimulate economic progress, world trade, and democracy, working with 100 countries.
Wow. It was shocking when he lost his seat. I thought he was a shoo-in, even though it was a difficult district. And so I'm happy to see now that he's going to be back in a different capacity, but fighting the good fight.
Okay. Let's talk about Jeopardy. First of all, I was watching the show, and the very famous champ on the Masters show, Amy Schneider, was playing there and had an announcement to make.
Amy Schneider is a writer from Oakland and now serving on the board of a local nonprofit in Oakland, right? Tell me about it.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, since I've become a bit of a public figure, I've been really wanting to figure out how to get involved in more like nonprofits and advocacy. And I was, you know, honored to be invited to join the board of Equality California that works to keep California the safe place for LGBTQ people that it is. And so that's been really rewarding and really educational. And it is also an event will pop up on my calendar saying board meeting. And it's just like, oh, wow, that's me. I'm on the board.
That's my new life.
Fighting, yeah.
I go to board meetings now.
And one of the responses, correct responses on the show was silence equals death. And the one who got it was the queer contestant, Matea Roach, who was also on the Masters Tournament.
Yeah, I love that.
Tell us about what happened between Ken Jennings and the great champ, James Holzhauer.
Yeah, this is really juicy. So Jennings and James have been accused of flirting a little bit on the show. Recently, Ken Jennings read a clue that read, "The Detroit Free Press and the Mummy was vintage this novelist. Elegantly erotic and full of enchanted terror." The contestant got it wrong, and then James burst in and Jennings said, "I also refer to James as elegantly erotic, but full of enchanting terror." Now, this response got a response from James saying, "Keep it in your pants, Ken." So a little bit of flirting there on the show, just so that you do know the answer to this. Of course, it's Anne Rice. Anne Rice is the author that we were talking about, but I think we forgot the answer here because we were so focused on these two heterosexual gentlemen enjoying their bromance on Jeopardy.
Okay. A lot of LGBTQ stuff on Jeopardy. And a lesbian is back in the WNBA. Brittany Griner was back in action for the Phoenix Mercury last Friday in Arizona. First time since her arrest by Russians in February of last year. They put her in jail for 10 months until the Biden administration traded her for her in a prison exchange. It was a preseason game. She received a loud ovation when introduced. And she also said when she now hears the national anthem, there she is standing up for it, it definitely hit different.
God, I thought
her government sprung her from a Russian prison. As for the game, she said she was more rusty than she expected, but on the right track.
I'm working on a memoir, I hear now. A memoir. She's taking offers, a multi-million dollar memoir. I'll be reading that.
The American Medical Association has is going to have a new out president, Dr. Jesse Ehrenfeld. He's going to be inaugurated on June 13th. He's making clear that the AMA will not stand for laws banning gender-affirming care or abortion. The group has 271,660 members, and he'll lead an AMA group in Chicago Pride with his husband for the first time, a first for the AMA. He says the AMA has noticed a drop in healthcare workers applying for jobs in states where these regressive laws have been passed. He's ready to join suits against the laws. In 2019, he testified against Trump's ban on transgender service in the military, saying there was no medical reason for that. And he's also been involved. We're going to talk later about how the gay blood ban has been modified. He's been speaking out about that. Okay. Let's see. By the way, I used to do a segment on the show called Those Darned Heterosexuals. What did they do? Well, Rudy Giuliani is a damned one. Like Trump, thrice married, and according to the lawsuit from his aide there, Noel Dunphy, a chronic alcoholic sexual abuser prone to racist and sexist outbursts, demanding sex of her, told her she reminded him of his daughter while they were having sex, was supposed to be, or was raping her, I guess, was supposed to be he was supposed to be representing her in a legal case. All of this is actionable. She has most of his crimes recorded on tape. And he also, but not the one, one of the big ones is that he was selling pardons with Trump for $2
million. They were going to split it $1 million each, although her lawyer is saying they don't have that on tape, but they do have a witness who can corroborate what she has been saying in the lawsuit. And so this one looks like it's going to move forward. And they do claim they have witnesses and over 15 recordings of Rudy.
Okay. You've all heard the news about that Walgreens security guard in San Francisco who shot and killed trans man Banco Brown over shoplifting. He will not be charged by the right-wing DA there, Brooke Jenkins. The guard, Michael Anthony, said he felt threatened, but Brown was unarmed, and Anthony was heard to say to Brown, "Damn it, sorry, man, that shouldn't have happened. I was stupid," and he's not getting charged. All right. Okay, you have a story from Missouri's crackdown on trans athletes. Yes, Rob?
I don't have that one, Andy. What do you have?
Yeah, Missouri, I got this from you. Missouri lawmakers approved two bills that ban gender-affirming care for minors and prevent transgender girls and women from participating on female sports teams. Now, the attorney general there had tried to ban gender-affirming care. Now he says, I'm withdrawing that because now we have this law. But then the governor is expected to sign both of them. What's this about Kansas City being a sanctuary city in Missouri?
So Kansas City has decided that they are going to become a sanctuary city. So while all this is going on in Missouri, Kansas City is fighting back, saying, no, that isn't how we want to run things here. And they're going to become a sanctuary city, particularly for LGBTQ people, to make sure that they are safe there. It's interesting because this is going on within what everything that is happening, what's happening in Missouri. And so a little bit of good news out of a state that's full of really bad news.
Yes. Well, most cities are blue, yeah. Even in the red states. Now, tell us about this terrible killing of a gay teenager.
Yeah, I think we covered this on the show. The update is that two men have been arrested for a brutal killing of a gay teenager in New York. Police in Brooklyn have arrested two men for the murder of a 19-year-old gay man who was found shot in the head, and his body was left burning on the railway tracks. Isaiah Benez, who's 19, was arrested on Thursday and charged with the murder. Also, too, the police arrested a second person and charged him with concealment of a human corpse and tampering with evidence. This one has been out there for a few months now, but now they believe they've got the two people responsible.
And it sounds like Marjorie Taylor Greene's homophobia is being countered now in the Congress.
Yeah, there's people in the Congress now, Democrats in the Congress, are sick of Marjorie Taylor Greene, particularly her comments about who are parents and whether or not a biological parents, how you become a parent, so that they're fighting back with a bill. I'm not sure it's going to pass, but I think they're doing this just to point out her horrible homophobic remarks.
Well, Robert Garcia, that out gay Congress member from California, also introduced a resolution to expel George Santos. And that is going to be a vote voted on. It is a privilege motion, and it's going to put Republicans on the spot. Again, don't expect it to pass. But don't forget, there are five or six Republicans who have already said, we want him out. Well, they say they want him to resign.
Right.
Of course, he's been indicted now.
What do they need? A two-third majority? So it's looking yes. unlikely. But they are going to have to be on the record. They're going to have to. I'm sure a lot of people will be absent that day. But people that are there, they have to make a decision, and it will stick with them moving forward.
Okay. Speaking of crime, you know, this is not a, well, we don't think this is a gay case. I mean, it's Jordan Neely, the Michael Jackson impersonator who was killed on the subway by the chokehold by Daniel Penny, who has been indicted for manslaughter. But the Christian groups are raising hundreds of thousands of dollars for his defense. I mean, these aren't Christian groups. These are white nationalist groups. Ron DeSantis called him a good Samaritan.
Mm.
Good Samaritan. There's a man who never read the Bible and doesn't know what the story of the Good Samaritan is. And, you know, President Biden, at his commencement address at Howard University, called white supremacy the most dangerous terrorist threat facing America.
Currently, they've raised up to $2 million, more than hundreds of thousands. $2 million have been raised.
Okay. In Utah, Pornhub is blocking Utahns entirely from access to their site because Utah instituted all these things about age checks that they don't think that they can manage. So they're just saying, goodbye, you're not going to be able to get porn in Utah from us. I want to mourn the passing of a great ally of the LGBTQ community, former New York City Council member and New York State Senator Bill Perkins, 74 years old, a strong progressive leader. He put himself on the front lines for his causes, including ours. I'd see him at our demonstrations and many others all the time, and he will be missed.
Hmm.
Okay, we are going to international news, I think, now. Yes, are you ready for it?
We're ready, Andy. Bring it on.
All right. Well, the Turkish elections, they're going on. They're going to have a runoff May 28th between Erdogan and his more progressive challenger. Erdogan got slightly more votes, but he didn't get 50%. They say he has the momentum, but he ended up finishing his campaign by attacking his opponent as a supporter of gay rights, which he was certainly not as hostile as Erdogan was. And then the Thai elections. Have you followed this? It's very hard. It's kind of ridiculous. Opposition parties in Thailand won a majority of the seats in the lower house. And they are parties that support marriage equality, and they want to promote Thailand as a global destination for LGBTQ tourists. But it's currently ruled by a coup government that stacked the Senate with nothing but military government sympathizers. And they get to select who becomes the next president. If they don't like the one that the people elected, they don't go along with it. What a country.
It sounds like Florida.
It sounds like our electoral college, but I mean, that's the system there. So we're hoping for the best. In London, the Metropolitan Police were accused of siding with right-wing protesters from Turning Point UK at a drag event, at a South London pub. The police also went over there. They are so that, you know, when these drag events happen, our side comes out and tries to protect them. And then the fascists come out and try to stop it. The police also went overboard arresting people at the coronation protests, people who were protesting the monarchy. So Metropolitan Police, they apologized for what they did at the coronation. But, briefly, Namibia, the Supreme Court ordered the recognition of same-sex marriages entered into abroad between Namibian natives and foreigners. Taiwan's legislature legalized adoption by same-sex couples. Estonia, the government has approved a draft same-sex marriage act. China, Beijing's LGBTQ center was closed as the climate worsens there for LGBTQ people, a crackdown by the Xi government. And, you know, Japan, you know, the president is headed for Japan for the G7, right? Well, you know, activists there, our side, have been pressing them. You're the only G7 country that doesn't, you know, protect LGBTQ rights. Do something about it. But we are reading that a national Shinto association has risen up, a right-wing group, to oppose LGBTQ rights. Polls in Japan say overwhelmingly people want same-sex marriage, but this group has been stopping it. So we're not likely to get much out of the current government of Japan. All right. Let's go to AIDS news. We started to tell you that Mpox cases are on the rise in Chicago. They've gone up even more since last week. So if you're at risk, get vaccinated. Two doses, 4 weeks apart. Now, I have to say, many of the new cases are among people who were vaccinated. But that's not a reason not to get the vaccination, because if you have the vaccination, you're likely to get a much milder case. None of these infections have led to hospitalizations in Chicago. Let's talk about the blood situation, the blood donation situation. Gay and bi men in monogamous relationships can now give blood without abstaining from sex. The updated guidelines focus on behavior, not sexual orientation. All donors, regardless of sexual orientation, sex, or gender, will be screened for risk factors. Those who report anal sex with new partners in the last 3 months are barred from giving blood until a later date. HRC called it a step forward, but they want people on PrEP to be able to donate as well. And GMHC is really concerned because, well, they're somewhat encouraged by the new guidelines. They fault the policy for sending mixed messages about condom and PrEP use for safer sex. Policy prevents PrEP users from donating unless they stop using the drug. I just don't get it. And the National Center on Transgender Equality is raising the alarm about the recent official end of the U.S. COVID health emergency, which could leave transgender people without access to vital care in many, many ways. So you may be celebrating the end of that emergency, but all right, let's go to entertainment news.
We have tons and tons of entertainment news today. That's what I primarily do for a living. So let me jump in. Maren Morris is zinging the recently unemployed Tucker Carlson in her glad speech. So the country singer was labeled by Tucker Carlson as, quote, a lunatic country music person last year after she spoke out in defense of transgender children. The Grammy-winning singer-songwriter took the stage Saturday night at the GLAAD Media Awards, where she received the Excellence in Media Award. Morris drew cheers and applause from the audience, particularly after she took a jab at Tucker Carlson, saying, maybe I felt a little badass making Tucker Carlson calling me a lunatic for standing up to transphobia. Turning it into a T-shirt and selling over $150,000 she raised for LGBTQ charities. She said, but I don't want to gloat. I would never insult the recently unemployed. People were screaming and shouting. Also, let's point out, at the GLAAD Media Awards, Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye, he received the Vito Russo Award, and the comedies Fire Island and Anything's Possible both receive the 2023 Outstanding Film Award.
The great activist Vito Russo, who wrote The Celluloid Closet. And if you haven't seen the movie The Celluloid Closet, that was based on that book, it's an absolutely terrific, it's an older film at this point, narrated by Lily Tomlin. But it's terrific. And Vito, of course, was our neighbor here in Chelsea, living on 24th Street. The Eurovision Song Contest was won for the second time by bisexual Swedish singer Loreen for her pop ballad Tattoo, beating out 25 other nations in the final that was dedicated to the besieged people of Ukraine. Loreen sang, "You're stuck on me like a tattoo."
Andy, you should sing it next year. The competition was moved out of Ukraine for obvious reasons to Liverpool in Britain. And Kate Middleton had a surprise opening of the show. She taped herself at the piano singing a song from Ukraine. She taped it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, they staged it in Britain because Ukraine was supposed to be in Ukraine because Ukraine won the previous year. But so it was held in Britain.
We have some marriage news. Colton Underwood, who you might remember as The Bachelor, has married Jordan C. Brown after almost 2 years of dating. So the former reality star and former NFL player married. They married in Napa Valley in California. 200 guests were there to a disco-themed party. They both wore custom Tom Ford suits. And they said they wanted to break with tradition, with the ceremony. And they did this in many different ways, including having Olivia Wilde there, who turned up wearing a wedding dress, a white wedding dress, which some people are very angry about. However, she now assures us that the two grooms said it was just fine. She got their
permission. And we would show you wedding pictures, but they were given exclusively to People magazine. Hey, I have a bone to pick with Denzel Washington. I really admire his acting. I think he's a terrific actor. But he revealed he turned down a $30 million chance to play a role in Disney's Marvel Cinematic Universe because he perceived it as a, quote, woke storyline where his character would have been revealed to be secretly gay. Now, this is the same guy who told Will Smith when he was about to star in 6 Degrees of Separation, a gay role, "Don't be kissing no man," is what he told him. So there's a problem there with Denzel on our issues.
Absolutely. This is a nice story. Tracy Lissette hopes that Monica, a film that she's in called Monica, is going to create a lasting change for trans people in Hollywood. So Trace made history last summer when she became the first transgender woman to lead a film in the competition at the Venice Film Festival. That film opens in LA and New York later this month. But now she's saying she hopes the film Monica really does lead to change. Quote, "It's nice to see people celebrate milestones. However, what I look forward to is the abundance of trans performers and different changes in the industry so that we just see a lot more of this." Hopefully the film is a big hit, and we will.
In her interview in the New York Times, she said the only way we're going to get past this hate and messed up legislation is if the other side can see themselves in us. That's the challenge. That is a challenge. Okay. The ongoing controversy about Dylan Mulvaney and Bud Light.
Yeah, Dylan is speaking out about it. So Dylan's not spoke about this since it really blew up. Bud Light sent her a special commemorative issue of their drinks. It had her face on it. She was very excited about it. She posted them on social media, and then the culture world exploded. Now, after a couple of weeks of silence, Dylan is talking out saying, "It's sad that my page used to be a safe space, and then it became the epicenter of the cultural wars because of her comments." We pointed out that her partnership with Bud Light really attracted a firestorm of criticism, including Kid Rock, who posted a video of himself shooting a Bud Light can. And how can we forget? Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene called for a boycott of the beer.
too much. She is a big influencer. And you've probably heard about all the breakthroughs in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover this year. A lot of different covers there. Who do we got there?
I think they did like four or five different covers. We have Martha Stewart, who's 81 on the first one. We have Megan Fox.
She's 81 years old. I didn't even know she was 81. She looks terrific.
81 years old. Megan Fox, dazzling in the second. We have Kim Petras, who we know from her duet, her Grammy winning duet with Sam Smith. And Brooke Nader at the end. Let's just focus for a second on Kim Petras, who is the second trans model to ever be on a Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover. She's one of four different covers, making her the second transgender woman to appear on the cover. If you remember, Lenya Bloom was the first who appeared on the cover in 2021. We have a quote here from Kim. She said, quote, "It's definitely a scary time to be transgender in America, but there are so much more representations out there than there's ever been. So we can look on the bright side of that." She added that she does feel pressure sometimes to represent the trans community with everything that she does, but she's also really, really blessed to have all this work. And talking of work, she revealed Monday that her latest album, Feed the Beast, will be out on June 23rd. It's her first on a major label. If you remember, in February, she won the Grammy with Sam Smith and caused like some controversy at the Grammy ceremony. But the Sports Illustrated issue is available on newsstands on Thursday.
Well, so, you know, the swimsuit issue, of course, used to be something feminists, we're all feminists here, would protest because of its objectification of women, but it's trying to break through and, you know, say, represent the diversity of women and trans people and all that kind of stuff. So it's more welcome. Okay. All right. So I don't know how many of you know who Patricia Highsmith is. She wrote, of course, The Talented Mr. Ripley, and you remember the movie Carol with Kate Blanchett. She's the author of that, but there's a new biopic about her.
That's right, new biopic coming out about Patricia, and it's going to feature two very famous actors out there. It's going to be Shailene Woodley and Cara Delevingne as lovers. So Patricia has authored over 22 different novels. You mentioned The Talented Mr. Ripley that got adapted into a film starring Matt Damon and Jude Law, and also to Strangers on a Train, which was adapted by Alfred Hitchcock. That was hers too. He primarily wrote psychological thrillers, and now we're going to get a biofilm about her life starring these two big stars.
And it's called The Murderous Miss Highsmith. It's going to look at her troubled love life and the period right before she wrote The Talented Mr. Ripley. And what's going on between Megyn Kelly and Charlize Theron?
So Charlize Theron, who has been out there talking, standing up for drag performances. She even did a fundraiser, a telethon to raise over $600,000 in support of drag performers. Now Megyn Kelly is going after her because Charlize said that she will F anybody up who comes after drag performers. Now Megyn Kelly is saying, then you need to come after me and F me up. Ooh. Megyn went on to say she opposes the grooming of young children, which the right wing has been falsely labeling the gay community who supports drag performers as groomers. Now, what's so interesting about this too, if you remember, Charlize actually played Megyn Kelly in the 2019 film Bombshell about all the scandals at Fox News.
Yeah, when they talk about groomers, of course, all they're trying to do is groom you for fascism. All right, LA Pride, Grand Marshals, who we got?
We have two new Grand Marshals for the LA Pride. Margaret Shaw, who we absolutely love. She's going to be there, a fierce, outspoken person. And also to Leslie Jones. Leslie
Jordan.
Jordan, forgive me, that makes it. Leslie Jordan, too, who passed away recently, had a heart condition, was driving his car. At first, we thought it was a car accident, but now we know that's not true. So the two of them are going to be representing.
Never heard of doing it posthumously, but, you know.
The first time.
Jordan was a beloved character, wasn't it?
That's the very first time they've done that.
Yeah. And, you know, after Ann and I taped last week, there was the Trump town hall with Trump, which was horrifying, and great debate over whether it should even be done. And Anderson Cooper got involved in the discussion.
Yeah, hours after that debate aired live, Anderson was on the air really defending CNN and saying that if we don't get out of our own silos, we'll never, ever be able to heal, to communicate with one another. He's having an enormous amount of pushback now for that and criticism of CNN. He seems to want to move past this issue very, very quickly. He's not really spoken about it again. He's moved on to other topics, but there he is on tape, and it will last forever. Anderson defending, not Donald Trump, but defending CNN's position to air this hour and a half.
Well, of course they have to cover him. I mean, he is the leading candidate but, you know, he's not debating his opponents. And why give him a forum where he just gets to spew lies for the whole time? I mean, they've certainly gotten past covering his speeches, which they used to do as soon as he started speaking, because they thought it had such an... But this Chris Licht, who is running CNN now, is a right-winger. He's getting rid of a lot of people at CNN. And he practically almost fired a guy who was very critical of it on CNN.
Yeah, their media writer, the next day in his newsletter, put out how critical the staff were, how internally morale was at an all-time low. And then the night or two nights after that debate, for the first time ever, CNN's ratings fell apart, so much so that the right-wing outlet Newsmax actually beat CNN in the primetime ratings.
What I want to know, and I'm sorry if this is known, but they limited the audience to Trump supporters and what they called independents. I mean, why not have just an open audience, if it's going to be a forum, where anybody can ask questions and hard questions and remonstrate with them? They shouldn't be controlled by Trump.
Right. There's lots of debate now about moving forward, how networks will handle this. I spoke to several people at NBC, at CBS, and they said they've got to really think about how they set these things up. And if they're going to be live, how do they fact check him in the moment? Past interviews with Trump that have seemed to be the most fair are ones that have been taped, and then reporters can edit in. Jonathan Swan did this. Wallace did it too. They were not live, so they could edit in footage. They could edit in statistics, sound bites, recordings, making sure everybody knows that what the president just said was a lie.
Okay. Tell us about Neil Patrick Harris and his husband, David Burka.
These two are just so much fun together. They're so creative, and they have their own production company, and they have a new series out called Drag Me to Dinner. Drag Me to Dinner. It is a competition cooking show. Now, David Burka, Neil's husband, is a great cook, has several cookbooks out, and Neil Patrick Harris loves to eat, apparently. So now it's going to be hosted by Murray Hill, starring Neil Patrick Harris, Bianca Del Rio, David Burka, and they're going to have 40 dazzling drag queens compete against each other, cooking up a meal with a theme. 10 episodes have been ordered by Hulu, and it premieres May 31. I'm lucky enough to have got an advance of one of them. It's a lot of fun.
And we have a new out gay anchor for Good Morning America on the weekend.
That's right. Gia Benitez, who was rumored to be filling in or to be replacing TJ on GMA3. He has ended up hosting now, being announced to host the GMA weekend show. He's an out Cuban-American journalist. He's been on GMA for some time now. Recently, he was a travel correspondent for ABC, and now he's got the job on the weekend show. His mom and sister were in the audience with tears of joy, and also to his handsome husband, Tommy Dodaro. joined him on stage to congratulate his husband on all his accomplishments, the new weekend anchor for GMA3.
Now, more news from the GLAAD Media Awards in New York about Jonathan Bennett.
Jonathan Bennett, who we know from Mean Girls, he was asked whether or not he would be making a cameo in the upcoming film. They are going to remake the film, the musical version. So Tina Fey turned the film into a musical. It played Broadway for a couple of years. And now that version is going to be put on film. And Jonathan was asked, are you going to be in it? And he said, there's some talks going on about certain things. Let's just say that there's going to be lots of cameos in the movie, I'm told. And Tina Fey will be back, making us all think it's safe.
And show that picture of Jonathan when he was in Mean Girls.
There he is.
There he is.
Hello.
Yeah, there he is. Okay. Lady Bunny.
Lady Bunny, who I saw last week here in New York. She's playing Green Room 42. The iconic Lady Bunny was one of the first drag queens to really reach out to the mainstream popularity, along with RuPaul. Hilarious new show, bringing her signature, really raunchy comedy to New York City. She was asked about what's going on in the world at the moment, and she said she thinks it's ridiculous that the Republicans are saying that drag queens are sexually grooming kids, a drag queen story hour. Honey, we are not grooming kids at libraries. Bunny, we're not grooming kids anywhere at all. She went on to say, quote, I'm not a parent, so I don't want to make those decisions. I think the Republicans have spread lies, but I also think there's also some genuine concern.
Well, I mean, you know, if, you know, the drag time story hours were drag queens spouting off with obscenities and things like that, as they sometimes do at a show, you know, when they're just having fun at like Wigstock or something. But that's not what's going on at story hour.
Yeah, Lady Bunny's show is really X-rated. It's filthy, it's dirty, it's delicious. This isn't aimed at children at all. And I'm quite sad that she hasn't been able to make the distinction.
Okay. We can't show you Janelle Monáe's new music video, Lipstick Lover. It is a scorching hot pool party, but Google it. It's not safe for work, lesbian rom, and it's their first new album in 5 years. It's called The Age of Pleasure, soon to be banned in Florida, Tennessee, and Arkansas. Monáe said, this is our oasis made with love, rooted in self-acceptance, throbbing in self-discovery, and signed with cherry red kisses from me to you. Mm. Okay, the Tony Awards are going on.
Yes,
we thought the writer's strike might end them. They made an accommodation, so the writers won't be there. The actors are going to have to think up their own lines.
It's going to be lots of live performances. None of that easy sort of dialogue that's a little bit awkward. Maybe it's just going to be about performances and handing out the awards, which honestly is probably my favorite award.
I'm going to link in our show, we've got 15 seconds, to the 60 Minutes interview with the out gay conductor, Yannick Nézet-Séguin. He's at the right in the picture there with his husband, who we met at Julius's, Pierre Tourville. And it's a nice segment, and we will link to it. And thanks for being with us.